Bruce Rinker.
Here.
Debbie Berry.
Here.
Dan Moore.
Here.
Three members are present, which constitutes a quorum.
Please join us in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So first up, if we have a motion to approve the minutes from June 15, such any amendment?
Move approval?
Second.
Favor?
Aye.
Should we do the financial report? Should we do the swearing?
I defer to you.
Should we do the swearing in first?
Swearing in.
Let's do swearing in first. I know so many would love to listen to our.
Nice crowd today.
Without any further ado, Brian, if you want to do the introductions.
Absolutely. So we're taking the first action item, swearing in our patrol officers. If Timothy, David, and Joshua could please come forward. You do have notes to help you this morning.
You look so calm. Raise your right hand, please, and repeat after me. I, David Weston Andrea, do solemnly swear, that I will support the Constitution and laws. Of the United States of America. The Constitution and laws of the State of Ohio. And the rules and regulations. Of Cleveland Metro Parks. And I will discharge the duties to the best of my ability. Of the office of officer. To which I've been appointed. I will faithfully carry out and implement. The policies enunciated. And the instructions given to me. By the Board of Park Commissioners. Cleveland Metropolitan Park District. And this I promise to do. As I shall answer unto God. Excellent. Congratulations.
You got to sign those, so don't go anywhere. Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome. This is a great day for the Cleveland Metro Parks Police Department, swearing in three new officers, which is one of my favorite things to do. Like to thank Brian and the Board of Commissioners and Harold and his crew for moving this process on. Tim Drager comes to us fresh out of the Kent State Police Academy. This will be his first police department, so we welcome him and his family. And then Josh and David, a very interesting story here. They both worked together. They had worked together in the 3rd District in the Cleveland Police Department, each having over 10 years experience. So they are starting a brand new career, I think, which speaks volumes for this organization. For these two officers with an exemplary background, spotless personnel record, to see what the Cleveland Metro Parks Police Department offers and what this organization globally, the Cleveland Metro Parks itself, offers you, speaks volumes for them coming to us. So thank you so much. Welcome. And to the families, we will take good care of them. Thank you.
Good night.
So Josh, David, and any sign just here?
Do you need a pen?
There are two copies.
Please do.
Yeah, both. 19. Same thing.
Without taking those copies, man.
Chief, if you'd like to have them to introduce their families that came with them today. Do you like to have them introduce their families that came with them today?
Josh, you want to introduce your family, please?
Bring one up.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Josh Michael Askey. This is my little daughter, Sophia.
She's three.
My wife, Cassandra. I just want to thank, it's an honor to be here with everybody. I searched for a long time to make this decision to leave where I'm at now. And when I found this place, it checked all the boxes I was looking for. So to make that decision, you know, it felt right. And it just felt like the thing to do. So that's, it's an honor to be here. And I look forward to a long career at the Cleveland Metro Parks.
Thank you.
I'm Tim. This is my family. This is my lovely wife, Aubrey. And we have son on the way. He's due in November. This is my father, Kurt, my mom, Debbie. This is my father-in-law, Jeff. Both Jeff and Kurt have been police officers for their entire adult lives. And I've got some really, really big shoes to fill. And I'm really honored to be here. And this is going to be my first job, but, you know, I'm going to work hard. And my goal is to make them proud and to live up to the name that's been given to me. And I'm just really grateful for the opportunity.
We'll take good care.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is David Meister. This is my wife, Emily, my uncle, Brian Meister, my cousin, Eric, and my brother-in-law's back there. It's been we're very blessed to be here today. I've been thinking about this opportunity for a few years now, and Josh and I have talked about it for quite some time. Number one, we heard it was a family environment. That's why we're here. This personalization here just speaks volumes of the organization that we're working for now. And Josh and I got Tim a gift. It's a green Cleveland Metro Parks tie. That's we're part of the family now on the team. We all have ties.
It's rare.
Thanks for everything today, and everyone have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, one last note. Josh and David were sergeants in the Cleveland Police Department, and they were actually one third their way through their career. And to make a big jump like that, we're just grateful for you to do that. Welcome aboard. Thank you, folks.
The action item falls on the top portion of page 9, appointing Timothy Dreger, David Meisner, and Joshua Michael Lasky to the office of police officer at the Cleveland Metro Parks.
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Now the financial report.
Pause. One second.
Pause. Sorry. You're welcome to stay.
You're also free.
Now's the time. Got a book.
Congratulations, everybody.
Which we're going to give the retirees first. Do you want me to go before the retirees?
Yeah, we'll. Otherwise, we'll be halfway through. But thanks.
Top that, Wade.
I just hope you clap as much for the finance report.
No, you only get tomatoes.
It's getting us queued up. There we go. Okay. First 6 months, I'll start with the overview. We are in really, really good shape, but I do want to go through some of the details for the commissioners this morning. Page 1. Yeah, let me shut this a little bit so you can see better.
That's perfect.
Okay. Awesome. Top line. Taxes. We're up 24.1% over the first 6 months of 2022, which is better or ahead of what my original projection when we did the budget and we were looking at the levy. I had us up about 17.9, let's call it 18. So we're up about 24% right now, year to date. That's the first half collection. Second half is usually a little bit lower, but we did get our first second half advance this past week of $9.5 million. So from a cash position, we're in a really, really good spot. Next item would be grants and gifts. And we're at $9.2 million through the first 6 months. This is 138.7% better than last year through 6 months. And I should point out, this doesn't include the $13 million that was just announced this past week. So Natalie and her group are just absolutely crushing it in terms of identifying grants, gifts, and other items. So we're just doing extremely well in that spot. The last item, we're about $2 million up on charges for services, which is 14.7% through the first 6 months. We're going to go through all the individual operating units and discuss the charges for services in detail. But the biggest contributor to the $2.1 million was golf, which is up almost $1.3 million. It's up $1.27 million in charges for services, all their revenues through the first 6 months. And then I did want to not skip over, you can see that on the expense side, we are up $6.9 million, $7 million. Expenses are up 13.9%, part of it's due to inflation, salary, benefits, costs, but the operating revenues are up 27%. So that's a recipe for success. If you can drive the top up 27% and have your expenses only go up 13 to 14%, you're gonna continue to do very, very well. The zoo, put my page here. Okay. Another good month for the zoo in terms of admissions in June. Admissions were up 10.95%. And we're up 10.95% through the first 6 months. And you can see they had a very good month. One thing that might jump out at you, and Dr. Kuhar saw this, as did I, you're going to see right down here, souvenirs and refreshments were 269. June of last year, only 21,000 this year. Don't worry, that's the Aramark revenues that did not get built to the first part of July, just the way the month end fell. I saw that when I looked at the draft, and within, and I know Dr. Kuhar's here, within 24 hours of putting this out, he had reached out to me and said, hey, there's something wrong. And we quickly let him know that it's just the posting of that. So even with that all said, revenues are up. Expenses are up also, but revenues are up more than expenses. The zoo's doing really, really well. We do still have construction going on. You can see I highlighted that number for you right there. And that relates to the PCA building, which is about 215,000. And Tropical Bears Habitat last month, we dispersed just over $500,000 there, are the two big items that make that up. But from the standpoint of the zoo, admissions are up, revenues are up, and they're doing very well. Now golf. I did want to talk about rounds played because this comes up and this is what drives everything. There's the 1.27 million I was talking about. You can see almost $600,000 up in just greens fees alone through the first 6 months. And in digging into this, that's really 31,835 rounds of golf, more played this year through 6 months than last year. And when Joe Rozak mentioned that, kind of the numbers seem too high. And so being skeptical as a CFO should be, I asked for the printout of the rounds played, got it, and I'm holding it and looking at it. And actually, if you convert it, because at the 18 hole courses, we consider a round to be 18 holes. If you convert all the 18 hole courses to 2 9-hole rounds so that it's apples to apples, our rounds played are actually up about 29% this year compared to last year. And then obviously that just drives everything else. Your rentals, your food service, your merchandise sales, driving range. If people are playing more golf, everything else is going to do well. You can see that through 6 months, net positive is almost $580,000, $579,000 to the bottom line. So again, if you just look at the bare numbers, and I try to bear things out in terms of numbers, this number's up 30%, this number's up 20%, this number's up 30%. If you can drive your revenue line up 30, and hold your expense increased only 20 as you go forward. Again, that's a great recipe for success.
Brian, what do you think that is? That's a huge increase. That's not the weather, is it?
I mean, as much as I'd like to say, you know, everything that we've done for marketing, but the weather did help. I mean, when you look at, you know, we had 3 weeks of dry weather. We didn't lose a weekend. On a weekend, you can lose, you know, a significant number very, very quickly. So we've been very blessed with, you know, really, I would say the runway of tee times, the elasticity of them. The game grew, to be very frank. You know, golf is one of the prop ups from COVID. It was one of the things that they could do, you know, rounds. Where people were playing 2 and 3 are now playing 7 to 10. And so it's just this really nice trajectory. The other thing that, you know, the commissioners need to know is that they were the ones who approved the cart purchase. And so when you look at all of the revenue, instead of the revenue split that used to happen, all the revenue comes into the park district and stays here. So there are a couple of different factors, but, you know, the actual rounds being played is up significantly. But I think that's a direct result of one, course conditions. So our general managers, superintendents have done a fantastic job. The weather has cooperated, and we continue to provide a high quality product for a value driven price.
And I can verify it's difficult to get a tee time on the weekend. I mean, it really is easy, which is great, but it's moving. The course looks fantastic.
That's terrific.
I've been out a lot.
And each month I like to point out kind of who's the superstar. And right now it's Seneca. You can see there $500,000 to the bottom line. And inside, I crunched the numbers out real quick. Their revenue through 6 months is up 40%. Their expenses are only up 16.5. And their rounds played are up. So then I wanted to dig into that. Rounds played are up 37%. Makes sense. And I was very curious, did the rounds played equate to the increase in revenue? They should. If your rounds played go up dramatically and your revenue doesn't for greens fees, something's amiss. Or if the opposite were true, we dovetail rounds played are up about 30% and greens fees are up about 29-30%. But Seneca's just doing great, and Commissioner Berry's corrected. There are lots of rounds being played. I'm relatively new, just being the newest member to the Chiefs. And what I've noticed, and I'm a casual golfer, is just the quality of the golf courses here. I mean, you know, compliments to Joe and his staff. They're much better than anything that I ever saw in Central Ohio in terms of a public course. They're just great. And then Enterprise. And so Enterprise concessions are up, which is highlighted in yellow. Year to date, concessions are up 29.9%. Total revenues are up right here, 17.4%. That's not a cause for concern. It's just the way it's the way percentages work. This can be up a lot, but if these don't grow as much, even though they're growing, it makes the total not as high. But total's up 17.4%. Expenses are up 13%. So again, when your top line, when your gross revenues are going up higher than your expenses, that's a great recipe for success. And I did want to jump to the next page because this is, again, the one thing that we talk about a lot. And look at Merwin's. Merwin's revenue through 6 months is up 55%. And I know there are times we wonder about, hey, is this make sense? It absolutely makes sense. Expenses are only up 13%. Revenue's up 55%. And I think you may remember in some of the early months, we talked about if we can just get revenue up another 10 or 12%, we can get this thing to a break even. It's at a break even. It's dropping money to the bottom line now. Preliminary numbers for July look really good. The weather is excellent. And so all in all, Merwin's is just doing great. And then the last one, I did want to point out parking. We talk about this each month, right there. And you can see it's pretty consistent. This is kind of put itself in a consistent role now where this top number is going to be $36,000 to $37,000 a month and operating revenue month in and month out. It's just pretty consistent depending on events and what's going on. We're going to have that parking revenue with very little expense. So no credit can be taken on my end, but the wisdom to purchase a parking lot that is able to generate that kind of revenue to support our other operations was.
And that's through winter.
That's true. Yeah, that includes winter. Yeah, I mean, this is through the first 6 months of the first 3 months of this. 4 months are not very good weather, at least. But that's all we had on the finance end. I don't know what else to say. I don't want to belabor it. We're just in a really, really good spot. Cash is in a good position. And I skipped over the first page, but if you look at investment earnings through 6 months last year, we had made about $1 million. This year, it's $1.8 million. And you'll remember us talking about trying to move some of our idle cash out of some lower earning investment pools and working with KeyBank. And even though it's a small number, it's $800,000 that we were able to pick up just on money that not being effectively, was not being as effectively deployed as previous as it is now. But I'll stop and see if there are any questions.
I had one question about the retail, our retail operation, which traditionally loses money. And I'm wondering if we could use Metro Park as a brand and sell Metro Park branded products in regular retail stores. Sort of, there are a bunch of people that do that, and I think maybe we'd get more clothes out there which advertises the Metro Park. And I think I think it's enough of a brand now. And Kelly maybe knows better than I do, but it's enough of a brand that I think we could maybe just think about that a little bit.
I really like the idea. I think one of the other things we're looking at is there a preferred clothier provider that provides a sponsorship? So I think stay tuned. There are a couple of things that Anna Marie Geraci, she's working on. So I think there's some things that with the retail truck, and you know, this is, it's definitely not a lost leader. I mean, if you look across the country, there are very few park districts that even come close to the amount of apparel and things that we sell across the board. So we're very proud of what they've been able to accomplish. They just opened a retail location down at Ohio and Erie Canal. So I think stay tuned, but we will definitely look into that other option of trying to potentially license it.
Great.
Yeah, the top line, Commissioner, continues to grow. So mm-hmm. Brent hit the nail on the head. They're doing a lot of things that are going to take a little while, but give it a few months, and I'm sure they'll be able to show the results from that.
There you go. Thanks.
Good. Thank you.
Thanks.
Next up,
we will move into the Chief Executive Officer's report. Just as a clarifier, we did take the action item of the swearing of the patrol officers first. The next action item we have under consideration is the Chief Executive Officer's retiring guests. This board meeting, we have five that we're recognized. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Wow, that's a lot of years. The very first one is Michelle Bondra. She was a technician. She served Cleveland Metro Parks for more than 36 years as a laborer. She finished her career in the Hinckley Reservation. She played an important role in the renovation of the bridle trails and continued to work hard for Cleveland Metro Parks. She was featured in the George Gunn Foundation magazine feature entitled Hard Hatted Women. The next retiring individual we have is Brian D. Fife, Outdoor Recreation Specialist 1. He was here for more than 19 years as a recreation specialist, worked in our youth outdoors program, did an amazing job providing access to nature for youth in the city of Cleveland from ages 8 to 18. His time, talents, and efforts will certainly be missed here at Cleveland Metro Parks. He has been a huge advocate for this park district. Chris D. Kamichek, Zoo Education Manager. We thank her for her more than 30 years of service to Cleveland Metro Parks. She typifies a career here, cashier, animal keeper, lead animal keeper, senior education specialist, zoo education manager. She was an absolutely fantastic and continues to be a wonderful advocate for Cleveland Metro Parks. We wish her the best in retirement. The next retiring guest we have is Gregory M. Rosin, senior tech. He was here for more than 33 years. Again, typifying a career at Cleveland Metro Parks, labor, handyman, senior handyman, technician, senior tech for Rocky River Maintenance, forestry, site construction, and he finished his career over at the Ohio and Erie Canal Reservation. We will definitely miss his time and talents on our site construction crew. Our last retiring guest is Megan Sharp, animal keeper. She served the Cleveland Metro Parks again for more than 30 years. Continued to increase her career from assistant zone leader, crew supervisor, farm attendant, zoo animal keeper, and zoo animal care. She was a huge contributor to the overall success of our elephant and elephant care program, really making extreme strides across our entire animal care team. We very much appreciate her time, talent, and efforts here at Cleveland Metro Parks. The recommended action recognizing all of our retiring guests falls in the mid-bottom portion of page 11, recognizing them for their years of service. Michelle Bondra, Brian D. Fife, Christy Kamichek, Gregory M. Rosin, and Megan M. Sharp.
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
The next we have is the 2023 budget adjustment number 7.
Thank you, Brian. Budget adjustment number 7 is on the top of page 12. The adjustment is for $7,947,259. All of the monies appropriated in the adjustment are funded with increased revenue, donations, grants that have been received previously but not appropriated. I should point out that 5.5 million of the 7.9 million relates to capital projects. And just to give a quick summary, $2 million relates to the Hawthorne Parkway Bridge. Almost 1.3 million is the West Creek Greenway Trail. And more than 1.2 million is for capital construction expense from the RAISE grant. So we have RAISE grant money. So those are the three big items that make up the $7.9 million. But I would ask approval of budget adjustment number 7.
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The next is just a revision to the change fund. This is for our nature shops as they continue to do business. Things ebb and flow with Donna and Kimberly taking their new roles. It's just a revision of the custodian and title. Recommended action falls in the middle page of page 13.
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The next is the ratification of the collective bargaining agreement between the Fraternal Order of Police, Ohio Labor Council, our part-time officers. Harold and his team have continued the contract negotiations. They successfully were able to execute a collective bargaining agreement in the form accepted by the Chief Legal and Ethics Officer. It falls very much in line with the other contracts that we have. We only have one contract left. Our regular police officers, they are still currently under contract and negotiations continue. Recommended action falls to execute the collective bargaining agreement falls in the bottom portion of page 13.
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The next is contract amendment 1429, Cleveland Metro Parks Hinkley Lake Dam Modifications, Hinkley Reservation. This is the GMP2. This dates back quite a few years, back to 2017. We've continued to strive to find funding sources along the way. We have been very challenged, but we continue to now bring this project to life. The GMP2 establishes the cost for mobilization, spillway, demolition, control of water. It is a large contract. It is basically 100 years in the making. Our teams have worked very hard at bringing the cost in control with what would be seen across the state of Ohio. We are proud to bring forward this historic investment in the Hinkley Reservation, in particular the Hinkley Lake Dam, which brings us back into compliance with all of the requirements. The recommended action falls in the top portion of page 15 to enter into the contract with Great Lakes Construction in the amount of $9,447,424.99.
Can I ask a question about this? How much of that will be paid by us? All of it?
We struggled. Our grants team has, as you can see, the $7 million upper. This fell just really into a gray area of opportunity. We tried to get an earmark in various budgets along the way. We did receive one set up for an earmark, but the valuation to the cost of going into the federal program. So we actually passed on it at that point in time. So we've worked very hard at trying to find cost control measures. And we've looked at other sites that have done this. And so we're looking at the scope, the dredging operation, the potential resale of material that could be dredged out. So we're going to try to bring those costs down. But it is, Dick Kerber once said that he goes, it's going to last 100 years. And by gosh, we're right at basically the 100-year mark. About a quarter of the lake is really been silted in, decreasing its effectiveness as a body of water. And then essentially the two dams, the earthen dam and the concrete dam, will be rebuilt as part of this entire process. So the drawdown will happen in September, and it'll be basically out of commission for 2 years.
Now there are a bunch of dams in Ohio that have the same problem, that are owned by or run by organizations that are nowhere near as strong as us. What are they doing?
Some of are doing nothing, actually, and I can't speak to what other agencies, but you know, it is a very large number to fund and to repair. In certain situations, metropolitan districts that handle wastewater, they're taking some control of these. ODNR, I think, owns the most, I think, followed by like the Muskingum Watershed Group. the impoundments, the Army Corps. It's a very complicated formula, but this team, if you look at from 17 till now, the amount of work we've done to make sure that we can be successful with this project and keep our costs in control, I think we've done a great job with the contractor Great Lakes Construction as well. It's a huge challenge, huge opportunity. We look forward to that one being stable for the next 100 years. Again, I think I'm reminded it's our plan is called the Second Century of Stewardship, and we're living up to that, taking care of this.
Yeah, terrific. Thanks.
Based upon earlier estimates from a few years ago, is it? It's basically the dredging that's the biggest driver of this increase.
Essentially, I would be remiss. I think Sean is here in the back. He could probably tie that in a little bit more.
Good morning, commissioners.
Good morning.
Like Brian said, we've been working with Great Lakes now for about 5 to 6 years on this. The biggest increase that we've seen is actually in material costs. So concrete itself, a little bit of labor. Right now we've got around $1 million in the contract for dredging. We may come back to expand that scope once we draw down the lake. But I can say from 2017 until now, we have done a better job of controlling the costs on this project than just about any other project we've seen. Because we started talking about that time, about an $8 million project or $9 million project. And what you see here is about a $10 million project. When you look at what's happened, even in the past 2 years with 20 to 25% inflation and construction costs, we've really contained this project down by being smart about it.
Thank you.
The recommended action falls if there are no further questions in the mid portion of page 15.
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The next is amendment number 3, contract 1422, professional services agreement with Hinkley Lake, Hinkley Reservation Construction Administration and Inspection, as part of the overall process. We have been working with Michael Baker. They are going to provide services, attend all of the meetings, prepare site, send reports to ODNR to make sure we're in compliance. Project representative. This is a very good company to help us with muscle relocation, final design, preliminary engine. There's a whole host of things that are wrapped into the Michael Baker International contract for $333,643. Recommended action falls in the mid portion of page 18.
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The next is the Richmond Road Connector Trail Project Development Agreement. Again, following the Second Century of Stewardship System Plan, identifies connections as one of the core goals. This has been a long time coming. It's a very short gap. It has been a very challenging gap to fund. Glen Willow and Oakwood plan to apply for issue 1 funds this fall from the Ohio Public Works Commission for the roadway project. We look forward to being able to design the details around this very complicated connection, but it does pull two of our reservations together in a safe passage. The recommended action is to enter into an agreement with the Village of Glen Willow and Oakwood Village for the Richmond Road Trail Connector project. Recommended action falls on the mid portion of page 19.
That's an off-road trail connection.
It will be. It'll be moved over.
Adjacent to the.
Adjacent to, but the railroad tracks has posed a challenge. Hawthorne Road coming into the Richmond Road connector. But as you can see, there was no connector there, and people would either ride horses or try to walk through it.
Yeah.
It's been a much sought after completion. We're very happy to be able to bring this forward. The two communities working with us along the way only continues to strengthen the project's validity.
And do you have a sense of how competitive that will be for those funds for issue 1?
That I do not know.
Also, Glen Willow over the past few years has been working on connecting down into Summit, further down into Summit through its community. And I think this becomes a node for that connector as well.
Yeah, not only that area, but then when you look at Summit Metro Parks, then you look at Portage and some of the others, you know, Mayor Krause is trying to do in the city of Solon to follow that rail corridor all the way down through Aurora and then potentially out. So there are a number of projects. It's really, they kind of stack themselves up, but this is one that's been sitting on our priority list for a long time.
It's a real pivot point.
It's great.
So I thought.
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The next is the Garfield Boulevard Trail and Green Infrastructure Project, Project Development Agreement Update. Cleveland Metro Parks continue to work with, and we approved back in April, Project Development Agreement with the City of Garfield Heights and Cuyahoga County for the Garfield Boulevard Trail Green Infrastructure Project. We continue to work on the components to make this a successful project. We need to enter into and commit up to $500,000. Each one of the partners is bringing their expertise to this, as well as the opportunity to partner with NEORSD using a multi-use path connecting the Mill Creek Connector Trail to the Garfield Park Reservation and using green infrastructure as part of it. This is another long sought after connection. If you look at the box that's in the bottom part of the map that's up on the screen, again, another one of those critical gaps that has not been able to be completed. We're very proud to partner with four strong governmental agencies to pull this much needed connection. It's neat to see that, you know, in our second century, we're being able to, in the first years, be able to clip off a few of these much needed connections.
Move approval.
Second.
I'm going to abstain from this vote because of the agreement with Cuyahoga.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The next action item is amendment number one, contract 1537. This is Big Creek Floodplain Analysis. This is at the Cleveland Metro Park Zoo. As part of our sesquicentennial plan, Cleveland Metro Parks has looked at the opportunity to enhance the gorilla primate rainforest addition area. This is an undertaking that is befitting of a huge opportunity. We are looking forward towards the work that we need to do to bring the road around the backside of our rainforest. We take a look at the flooding capacity, working with the sewer district, looking at the tributaries that feed into it. We're looking at making sure that we've got all the data collection to be able to build the new access road at the Cleveland Metro Park Zoo. Their scope of work falls on the mid portion of page 22 to enter into. Then the agreement is a sole source with Jacobs Engineering for an amount not to exceed $66,000.
So this basically sets the table.
Sets the table. It's incremental between the wireless facility coming down and the laydown area. Then we actually have to look at the analysis of the floodplain. We also have to take part of the building off in order to be able to complete the two-way traffic. What that helps solve is the safety issue between car and humans being able to cross each other in front of our entrance. Ultimately, the goal is to make a synergistic rainforest with the Primate Forest Gallery, sponsored by Cross Country Mortgage, tying that into the zoo with a whole new front entrance and avoiding the car-human conflicts.
It's going to be huge. Nice.
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The next action item falls on page 23, Special Services, Barge 225, Modifications and Relocation to Wildwood Park. We continue to work diligently with all of the people that will effectively help us move a barge to its new location. We went through a competitive process to find a company to be able to help us relocate this particular vessel. PE Limited LLC was selected at lowest and best. We are working with the Army Corps, the Coast Guard, and a host of others to be able to make this happen as seamlessly as absolutely possible. The recommended action falls in the bottom portion of page 24 to enter into the agreement of the Special Services 6766 with PE Limited.
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The next are the award of bids. The sole source, we have Euclid Creek Greenway Phase 2, 6757, 6761, roofing replacement. We continue to make strides in our roofing operations. And then it's the middle of July, and we're talking about rock salt. So that is co-op 6763 for our rock salt commitment for the fall and winter. Recommended action falls in the top portion of page 25.
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Vouchers.
Vouchers and payroll.
Thank you, Brian. Commissioners, I would draw your attention to resolution 23-07-108 at the top of page 36. approval of vouchers, wires, and payroll for the month of June. All the vouchers have been reviewed for legality in conformance with the Higher Revised Code. And I should add, they've all been reviewed and approved for payment by the Chief Financial Officer and the Chief Executive Officer as in accordance with the bylaws of the Board of Commissioners. The total amount is $14,907,311.97.
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
And public comments? Go ahead, Martin. You all get a chance. Oh, yes, sir.
Hello, my name is Anthony Beard. I am a resident of the Euclid Creek, Euclid Beach mobile community. I consider myself an outdoor enthusiast, and I am glad to see that the Metro Parks is doing pretty good. And is actually a positive thing that the Metro Park is doing very well, because I, over the years, have had an opportunity to experience and use the Metro Parks many times. Some of my positive experience would be I used the Metro Parks to hike through and walk through mainly Euclid Creek. I've camped at Squire's Castle with the Metro Parks camping apparatus they have there every once in a while in the summer. And actually, I was talking to my daughter. She recently graduated from the College of Worcester, and yesterday she dropped by to visit. And she, we were talking about going over to the park. And once we even went with the naturalist and went out on a canoe in Lake Erie, and that was a good experience. We talked about that yesterday. So these positive experiences are a good thing. And I'm glad that we took a moment, because, you know, I've been out of school for a long time, that we took a moment and did the Pledge of Allegiance, because the Pledge of Allegiance is kind of like kind of getting back to the values that we like to espouse as we go about life. And so, but even with those values, we have seen a lot of regrets over the last couple centuries in America. And with those regrets, we always look back and think we shouldn't have done this, but in real time, are we capturing those moments in real time? For instance, the displacement of Native peoples. You know, at the time, it may have been a popular thing to do, but as we look back, we think that, oh wow, that wasn't necessarily a good thing to do. Even the concept of manifest destiny, to feel that we should just go and spread from the East Coast to the West Coast. I love America, but there's a theory and a thought out there that there's some regrets that goes with that thought. I actually lived in Atlanta when I was going to grad school, and they were replacing the Fulton County Stadium with a new stadium, a new baseball stadium, Brave Stadium. And there was a lot of people displaced when they put in this new stadium. And here we are in 2023, that stadium's gone. That stadium's completely gone, and they built another one out, I believe, in Gwinnett County. They moved the stadiums out there. And so all this work is done, and then, you know, for how long and at what cost. But every once in a while, a hero comes along and helps patch things up. And hopefully we don't get to the stage of some of these tragic regrets that we've had. Sometimes we have visionaries who come in with different visions of different ways of doing things. And then it's possible that we don't have to go down some of these roads that we go down. Sometimes you have to be versatile, and you have to pivot when you have opportunities to make these various pivots. And so, look, I'm the big elephant in the room is that we all know now that the Western Reserve Land Conservancy has purchased the land of which we have our home situated on, and the Metro Parks is sort of going to be the end user of that land. And so my grandmother lived a short life. She lived to the age of 102 years old. And one of the things she used to tell me was that be careful the company you keep, and don't be afraid to walk away from something. She always used to tell me that. And whenever we would get in trouble, she would say, well, you don't have to do it, just walk away. And so just to close, I would have never envisioned that it would be this connection between all these various entities in this whole Metro Park, Euclid Beach situation that's going on. I would have never envisioned at the end of 2022, I have in my car, I forgot to bring it in. I meant to bring it in as a prop, but I forgot it. I have a card that I received from the Metro Park, one of those campaign cards to say, vote for this levy to increase revenue for the Metro Parks moving forward. And I voted unanimously, yes, voted for it. I would have never known at the time that it was this connection, how sometimes your vote can almost work against you, but it doesn't have to be a negative. I would have never thought that we as a group at Euclid Beach would have gotten over 6,000 signatures of support, not just online, but also by hand. Grand total of over 6,000 people's signatures in support of us, and a positive outcome to our situation. And a positive outcome could mean just a modification or a looking at a different plan, an alternative plan, not scrapping a plan, but just an alternative plan to what is proposed. And so I just, in closing, want to say that I hope that the Metro Parks, all the positive experience I've had, the positive outlook that the Metro Parks is looking at pretty good moving forward, I hope that the Metro Park can be that hero to cast a light on the vision for the future and explore alternatives to plans that are in place before we have regrets. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
That's very powerful and a little hard to follow. Apparently some of the settlement that Bobby George received from Metro Parks and others for the Irish Town Band was put to good use. The $50,000 reward he offered to the speedy apprehension of the alleged shooters in the flats worked. Good news. On the other hand, it is really too bad that the generous donation from the Mandel Foundation couldn't have been allocated to help residents remain in the southern portion of Euclid Beach Mobile Home Park, with Metro Parks using the northern portion. Instead, so far this feels like a bungled eminent domain case. Pardon me. Money was readily available to buy a party barge, but not to preserve a long-standing residential neighborhood. There possibly was a tax benefit to the seller in having WRLC acquire the land, but primarily it worked to shield Metro Parks from responsibility for evicting those people from their homes. If barge 225 is used at Wildwood as a so-called destination event center, I do hope that alcohol is not permitted. This would not only increase the risk of drownings, but drinking would add disturbances and possible crime to what is presently a quiet location. RV visitors, if that should be added, are like Airbnb, also given to partying. The Euclid Beach community made it quite clear when Metro Parks took over the lakefront that they did not want alcohol allowed in their area. Those wishes should be honored. I'm sure that the new portion of Gordon Park will keep law enforcement busy enough. And I want to add my appreciation to the attention and contributions of Commissioner Berry through the years. It was a very positive step to have a woman as a commissioner. In gratitude for her service, this will be the last of my remarks you will be subjected to.
Smarty. My name is Marie Sabo, and I use Walking Big Creek all the time. And the question I have is the Cleveland Metro Parks planning on paving any of the old all-purpose trail between Stump and Snow and Big Creek? It's heavily used. There's a lot of seniors that use it. And my husband will show you, this is a picture of someone who was walking on the trail recently.
This is trail condition. This needs.
Right. What happened was this, we call it the inside or outside trail. The old all-purpose trail was really not a good place to put it in the first place. I think there was a death and then there was a bad injury. It was a bike and it was a sharp turn to the left. So in their wisdom, they then established an all-purpose trail parallel to the Metro Parks Road. However, people use it all the time. Like I walk, we're both retired now, and I walk it pretty much daily year round. And a lot of people use it, a lot of seniors use it. So actually what happened was, whenever I have a problem with anything in the Metro Parks, I tend to call the nearest naturalist. So I called on, actually on Wednesday, June 7th, there was a woman, a senior on the old all-purpose trail, and her face was all bloody. And I said, did someone hurt you? And she said, no, the condition of the trail is really good. I saw. Anyway, so on June 8th, I spoke to Matt. I don't know what his last name is, maybe Niddle. Anyways, a naturalist at West Creek Stewardship Center, and I talked to him about the condition, and he was aware of it. He took my name and my phone number and email. I didn't expect to hear anything, which I didn't. Then 2 weeks later, when I was on the same trail, two Metro Parks employees were working on the worst part of it. So they and it was good. It was an improvement. Definitely. They put a combination of like dirt and gravel and stuff. So it was definitely better. And they filled six holes. So anyway, so that's, I just don't know if everybody's aware that it isn't an all-purpose trail and it should not have any bicycles or rollerblades or no wheels, but there are a lot of people that use it. And if it's not in the budget, if you can maybe keep it in mind in the future.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We have two people in back that are paying close attention. Do we have anyone else? All right. Well, thank you all. Move on to information items.
The very first one we have is Wade has breathed a sigh of relief to not be the first one to not pass through the Government Finance Officers Distinguished Budget Presentation Award for 2023. We are very proud that the continuation of our budget has been certified for its Distinguished Budget Presentation. This is through the GFOA of the United States and Canada. This award reflects the commitment of Cleveland Metro Parks, its park commissioners, and the staff to meet the highest principles of government budgeting. In order to receive this award, Cleveland Metro Parks has to satisfy nationally recognized guidelines for effective budget presentation that assesses how well the budget serves as a policy document, financial plan, operational guide, and communications device. This is the 31st consecutive year for Cleveland Metro Parks that they have won this award. They deserve a huge round of applause. Thank you, Wade. Anything you'd like to say on behalf of the team?
Thank you, Ryan. Yes, I'd just like to acknowledge everyone in the finance department, as well as the other departments. We receive help from all of the departments within the organization because it's a comprehensive document. And so it's really an award for the entire organization, not just the finance team. And if I could highlight one thing, which is, I think, noteworthy, this budget document is on our website. It's searchable. So when we talk about improving accountability and transparency, you can go right to the index, click on a section, and if you want to know about what we're doing in operations, and then you want to know about trails, click, click, takes you right to that page. It's no longer a big, cumbersome document to work through. It's a searchable PDF document that allows much easier access to all the information. But I did breathe a sigh of relief, as Brian pointed out, because I didn't want to break the string after 30 consecutive years as the new CFO. So I'm very happy, and I can't thank the team and everybody at the organization enough for all the help they gave us doing this. Thank you.
Thank you.
Congratulations. The next information item is Cuyahoga County Department of Public Works. This is the removal of the Chagrin River Road Bridge, an extension of Sulphur Springs. This is in the South Chagrin Reservation. Sean is anxiously awaiting the podium. It's clicker. He's ready to go.
Gabby Berry is listening closely.
I was going to say, this is educational.
Yes, thank you. Give you all information, Debbie. So we are working with Cuyahoga County Department of Public Works on a bridge replacement that they own. So we're here at the northern end of South Chagrin Reservation, at the Miles Road and Chagrin River Road intersection. Just want to kind of zoom in really quick to our reservation master plan. We have identified the Miles Road entry as an area that needs improvement, both from signage and alignment, and the intersection with Sulphur Springs. So it's kind of fortuitous that all these things come together. So the Cuyahoga County Department of Public Works owns this bridge. It was originally built in 1900. You can see here by the old stone abutments. It was rebuilt in 1963. And since then, it has aged, and now they want to take it out of service. They actually have some netting installed under the bridge now where we have trails, because we have concrete falling down onto the trail below. So with that challenge then comes an opportunity. So here's the bridge that they own and would like to remove. And we have been working with them to not reconstruct the bridge, but actually realign Sulphur Springs Drive. So what this does is it helps to realign it. Then they will install a traffic signal at Miles. It then allows us to bring the all-purpose trail up to Miles Road, where we can then connect to a sidewalk, which then connects the trails up to the polo field. We can also increase parking along the side of Sulphur Springs Drive, as this is a popular sledding area, and then improve the intersection here. The Village of Bentleyville, they maintain the balance of the road back to some residents that live just on the west side of the river. All in all, this is about a $1.3 million project. We will work with the county to grant easements, and also to the Village of Bentleyville to allow them to come through and then snowplow the portions of roadway that they still own and operate. We see this as a benefit, and we'll be working with the county as the project matures. That's really it. Any questions?
Show the before slide again.
It's like the eye doctor. There you go. So today we've got kind of a difficult intersection here, and this will really help clean it up with a new alignment of the roadway.
What is that area? Sorry, go back one more time to the north there. That looks like there's a curb cut off of Chagrin River Road and goes to, is that just construction?
You're talking here?
Yeah.
This area today is parking. It's lay down. Horse trailers at times do use it. So we're making sure that we take that into account as we go through the design process. But there is no curb cut to Miles
Road. It looked like Chagrin River had a curb cut.
Got it. Yeah, well, there is here, but there isn't up on Miles.
Yeah, got it.
Just
over here.
So that is the crux of it.
What's the timing hopeful?
Timing is next year. Okay. So they're approaching the final development of plans, and they want to put it out to bid late this year and then do the construction next year.
Spring.
Yes.
This is a great, great project.
Yeah. So I guess that's it, right?
Not quite. I'm going to let David catch up with the video. You ready? Kelly?
I just want to say on behalf of the Cleveland Metro Parks Organization, Commissioner Debbie Moore, thank you so much for your leadership and your service over the past 11 years. It's been quite a transformational time period, acquiring land, making new connections, developing the lakefront, putting conservation on the forefront of the zoo, winning 2 gold medals, the list goes on. So thank you. We put together a short highlight reel to just look back and reflect.
Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you.
Debbie, thanks a lot for being such a terrific commissioner. You've been smart, you've been effective, you've been fun to work with, and you've always put the community first. Good luck.
So there's a lot to cover talking about Debbie, but I think what people should remember is that many years ago, long before she became a commissioner, she really was the architect of the Lakefront Plan. What I remember most about Debbie, will remember most, is that she brings integrity, both professional and a real sense of a humanistic touch, to be level-headed. She's kind of the fulcrum on the board between Dan on the one hand and me on the other. Debbie, we're going to miss you.
Debbie Berry has certainly been an excellent member of the Board of Park Commissioners, but she is also a high-quality individual in every aspect of her life. She is an extremely knowledgeable, talented, and hardworking young lady. Her insight, experience, and leadership has greatly benefited our Cleveland Metro Parks. She was quick to recognize the importance of adding the lakefront to the Metro Parks, and she worked tirelessly and passionately to make that happen. On a personal level, Debbie is a unique individual, always smiling, always positive. If you meet her one time, you can't help but like her. She is fun to be with and fun to work with. I'm extremely grateful to her dedicated public service these last 11 years, and I am proud of her many accomplishments. For me personally, it has been a pleasure to know her and a privilege to work with her. On behalf of the entire Metro Parks family, as well as all of the people who live, work, and visit in Cuyahoga County, Ohio, thank you, Debbie Berry, for your service. You will certainly be missed, and we wish you good luck.
It's hard to believe Debbie Berry is completing her term as a Metro Parks Park Commissioner. 11 plus years of dedicated volunteer service to the Cleveland Metro Parks and the amazing communities that we serve each and every day. I've gotten to travel with Debbie all over the country, and her dedication to Cleveland Metro Parks is really second to none. Between gold medals, the trip to Rwanda, the trip to Cuba, we have gotten to see just about everything and anything that this great world has to offer. She has brought a perspective like no other commissioner. Her detail, the engineering, the opportunity, the connections, the list literally goes on and on and on. I got emotional during this part because of who you are and what you mean to the community. All the best in your new role, and we stay connected.
Wow. Thank you all so much. I didn't write anything formally, and now I'm seeing that was a big mistake. Wow, I didn't imagine this would be as emotional as it is, but this position and this opportunity has been one of the greatest things of my entire life, and I'm so proud of everything that we have done, that the Metro Parks has done. Every time someone comes up to me, and it happens every day, all the time, and tells me about something they love about the Metro Parks, about an investment or an opportunity, every time I just say, I'm in such an amazingly lucky position to be able to, with my fellow commissioners, just approve incredible ideas and amazing work that this whole team does. I love everyone here. And I'm so proud that I got to serve for so long. It's been a really difficult decision to step down. Even though I'm crying, I'm so happy. So I do want to say a couple of thank yous really quickly.
First, thank you to Judge Anthony Russo for having the faith and belief in me to appoint me as a commissioner. Our first conversation, he actually wanted me to work at the Metro Parks, which would have been a great opportunity as well. But I was like, no, I really like my job. And at the end of the lunch, he said, you know, I appoint the commissioners. I'm like, of course I know that. And then he gave me this wonderful opportunity to serve on this board for so long. So thank you for your belief and your support and your wonderful words. I want to thank my fellow commissioners. You guys have been amazing and so wonderful to work with. I think the three of us just make a perfect team, and it's been so terrific to learn from you, to work with you, to debate with you, but to get so much done for this incredible park system. I really do appreciate all of your support and listening to me and challenging me. It has been fantastic. I want to thank my mom, who's here, Barb Keppen, and my dad, who couldn't be here, passed away a few years ago, ever since I was little. My family spent a ton of time in the Metro Parks and still does to this day. I grew up on the west side, so Rocky River and Huntington Beach were the primary places that we went, but I just really learned to understand nature and recreation, and they've been supportive my entire life, along with my whole family. My husband, Pat, who had to work today and couldn't be here, and gave me all these opportunities to spend all this time dedicating to the park system. I just want to thank all of them. There's so many staff and team members that are in the room and not in the room, and I just really appreciate all of you. You've all been so supportive of me and done so much to help me, you know, in making these right decisions and bringing me along and helping me understand things. So thank you to all of you. And last but absolutely not least, Brian, you are the best, one of the best, if not the best leader in our region. I just appreciate, I know I'm your boss, but I have learned so much from you. And, you know, we've had so many amazing conversations and bounced so many ideas off. And just your commitment and your love of this park system is just unparalleled. And I'm so glad I've gotten to work with you. We were talking yesterday, and I was sad again about stepping down, but we're going to continue to work together in my new role at Cuyahoga County. And I'm really glad to have gotten to know you as well as I have and had all the opportunities to spend time with you and learn from you as well. So I think I'm coming back to being okay. But again, thank you for the video. Thank you for everything you've all done. It's been an amazing run, and I'm still going to be supportive and here and using the parks every day. And so again, thank you all so much.
So in recognizing your years of service to the Board of Park Commissioners, on behalf of Anthony J. Russo, the Board of Park Commissioners, the entire community that you have served, we would like to extend the resolution recognizing your commitment for more than 11 years to Cleveland Metro Parks and its surrounding communities. I did want one more whereas on there. Whereas, you always match your nails to your outfit. but that did not make the resolution. Having said that, though, we appreciate everything you have done, and the video captures your dedication to Cleveland Metro Parks.
Congrats. Thank you so much.
Just for the record, the resignation will take effect after the conclusion of this meeting, for the record.
That is the last information briefing and policy item. There is no old business. The next regularly scheduled meeting is Thursday, August 17th, here at Park Administration Headquarters at 8 a.m.
And we do have an executive session. Is there a motion to go into executive session for the purposes of the acquisition or purchase of real property?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Bruce Ranker.
Aye.
Debbie Barry.
Yes.
Dan Moore.
Yep.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
We're back on the record. The commissioners are outside of the executive session. Is there a motion to adjourn the meeting?
So moved. Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Done.
Aye.
your last official action.